The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, it's simple. Dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path, where each week we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. We think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance. I'm Joanne Shaw, landscape designer and owner of Down-to-Earth Landscape Design for the past 10 years. It is currently a design-only business here in the GTA. With me is Matthew Dressing.
Hi, Joanne. And I am Matthew Dressing, landscape technician and horticultural technician working for a local garden center.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Happy Monday again.
Happy Monday. We here, Joanne and I, enjoy doing Down the Garden Path each week, bringing you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics to help you achieve a great garden. We learn right along with you from each other, from our research, or from our guests that join us here on the show. We welcome questions via social media, emails, or calls. So, hi,
yeah,
Joanne.
Hello there. We were just saying before the show that we can't believe we felt like we were just here. The week has just flown by. I think it's the summer, right? The ending of summer just goes so fast.
So sad.
Gary, I find it. Don't you find it? So we discovered something a few weeks ago, Gary. You're going to be shocked
money?
By this.
Gold?
No.
Oh.
We wish.
We actually share a birthday.
Yes, we didn't say that.
I know. What were the odds of both of
your
us?
Birthdays are the same day?
On the same day.
First of all, how did that come up in a conversation?
It didn't come up. A good old Facebook, right?
So it was Facebook.
It was Facebook. Right. So, you know, you get notified.
Well, when it was your birthday?
It was August 9th.
August
9th. Oh, happy birthday.
Thank
to both. I wish I had cake.
Well, thank you.
Do you guys like apple turnover things?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Oh,
you.
Man, I'm going to bring you one downstairs at your coffee.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Yeah, what were the odds? Of that though,
that was wow. And it was funny because we signed off the show before,
right?
And I was like, "Well, it's my birthday." And Joe, you and I were talking because it was we weren't going to do a show that
right.
week. So I was like, "Oh, I could tell her, you know, we're doing it's my birthday."
Yeah.
She doesn't really care about that. Whatever. I'm on vacation. It's all good.
Yeah.
And then it was like Facebook. I said, "Wish Joanne Shaw a happy birthday."
And I had the same thing. The like little cake icon. I'm like. Really? Is this your birthday today? So yeah. So what were the odds of that?
So I looked up
the odds of that? No.
No. Yeah. At one point, no. But I looked up the next time we will have a Monday night show on Down the Garden Path and it's our birthday will be 2021.
Wow.
So we have a long time to plan a wicked
wow,
Down the Garden
long?
Path birthday show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, because it was a Wednesday. This time, right?
This time so,
yeah,
it was
so
a
we
Wednesday.
Have to wait, we have to wait all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So what are the odds of that? So the time is flying. And I always find that after the beginning of August, after my birthday, the weather changes and summer just flies.
Yeah.
It's always been my thing. So almost like dreading my birthday because I know mean summer's going to wrap up. So, yes. So, welcome to the show. And this is another, I hope everybody, we're happy to do, it's the last Monday of August.
Right.
So we're going to talk about September in the garden. And September is my favorite, one of my favorite times in my own garden, in other people's gardens. I think the garden has so much potential. And so I think there's lots to talk about, right?
Yeah, lots and lots to do in September.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. What is coming up at the garden center?
You know what? It's really gearing into fall.
Yes.
It's mums and bulbs and winter protection and animal protection and really getting ready for that next season that's coming up for sure. Japanese beetles.
Bulbs? Did you say bulbs?
Yes, yes.
Really? Are bulbs in stock?
They're coming later this week. It's lots and lots of bulbs.
Is bulbs your department?
No.
No, okay.
No, but... Yeah. The hard goods that go along with it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
Then, so I will answer all the questions.
But. Yes, for sure. For sure. Bulbs, everybody. Who's thinking of bulbs yet?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So
the insects are slowly going away and bulbs are coming out and fall. And so it's an exciting time because the summer kind of can get a little slow. Everyone's at their cottage doing this and that. There's no real lots of plants coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new summer ones, the late fall ones, but the hype isn't always there.
Yes, like in the spring when all the new stuff comes in looking so good.
So that's what's happening on the front lines of the garden center.
Excellent. The front lines.
The front lines.
Yes. And have you, your potatoes are done in your own garden?
The one pot that I did before yes. And then I do have another one that I did in a pot.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
Out on my balcony.
Right.
Yeah.
So
they're still going.
They're still going strong. Very cool.
Yeah. And then my tomatoes, they're done.
Really?
They're going. Yeah. The last of my cherries are being picked. Whoa. I'm about to lose my ears here as the static goes and on full volume. So my tomatoes are going. And we're going to actually talk about a little bit about tomatoes.
Oh, good.
Later.
Are we going to talk about some vegetables? Yes, because I've got some vegetable questions, too, from our garden. So, So I did some planting in my garden. I'm kind of itching for the cooler weather in a way, because I'm still trying to, you know, plant up that mulched area that I removed all the sod and I've kind of expanded the garden. And then mid-July, don't I plant those hydrangeas? And then I've had to water them like incessantly ever since. So I stopped myself from planting anything else. So now I'm kind of getting a little anxious. So I did pick up some sedums on Sunday.
Nice.
And got those in the ground and gave everything a good weeding it needed. And I also had some creeping thyme. I've got an area that I've got woolly thyme. You think you buy a lot of that stuff. You never buy enough. I like to kind of have a step around some flagstone into, like, I'm going to do like a little path into the garden. And so I wanted some woolly thyme. You never buy enough. So, no, I need to buy some more, but you know, I'd had them in container, like in a flat for like, like a month. So I needed to get them in the ground. So, so they survived and I got them in the ground. So,
Everyone thinks they're going to spread so quickly and fill in every crack and crevice. And it's
it's not.
It's not that quick.
It's not that quick. So, but the bees found it right away. So I was kind of surprised, and considering it wasn't flowering, but I found they were kind of hovering and stuff. So that was good. And
like they drew in from the scent.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So that was good. But so it's still a bit in transition. I'm finding everything dry. Like we haven't really had the long rain. And so we are, I do need to do some deep watering. And you know what I did? You know, I found another use for the tree gator.
Oh.
Yes. So kind of based on our conversation we had last week with Helen about dry shade, I do have Annabelle's in some dry shade. And they're looking a little sad. And any water, because it's a bit of a grade as well, if I just put the hose there, the water just runs off. So I actually filled my tree gator and not zipped, but kind of just kind of put it behind, like between the fence and the Annabelle, and then moved it between the two Annabelles back and forth, hoping to kind of get a deep watering. So I don't know, but I just thought another purpose. I know I sent an Instagram picture, although it's hard to see. The gator just kind of blends in with the foliage a bit. But what do you think? I love the way that it can do such a deep watering.
Yes, yes. It's great that way. Just sitting there. And did you find that the hydrangea wilted less, or did it signal less that it needed less water?
It still looked a little, but I think it was really gone, like really dry. So yeah. So I'm wondering if I should just do it again one more time, like to really give it a good deep watering. So because I know the garander's two Crimson King maples, and the maple's gonna take everything, right? Yeah. So might need a little extra. Yes.
Like my shade garden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think some of her tips that we talked about last week on some more compost and some more duck manure. Was it duck manure?
It was duck manure, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that might be some good fall dressings for my garden.
Yeah.
They're well mulched, but I think it maybe needs some more organic, even more organic material.
That's what I like about, as you say, mulching, the cocoa mulch. So it's the cocoa shell mulch. And what it does is it breaks down almost in like the 1 year on the soil.
Okay.
So it's really nice and ready to turn in to the soil every single year. It is more expensive mulch.
Right.
But it is a good way to throw some organic matter in there. But
would it mix okay with existing mulch that's there? I've got some composted pine.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely see with, you know, the pine.
The difference.
Yeah, the texture difference. You could notice it. But yeah.
Hmm.
And if you do go cocoa mulch way, it does have that enzyme in chocolate that harms dogs. 300% more than a chocolate bar does.
Wow.
So just be careful there if you have a dog and you're considering it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't have a dog and don't have a sidewalk on that side. So it should be okay. Nice. But doesn't it have a tendency of going mildewy though?
Because it breaks down so quickly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. The top layer will be nice and then that white ground mold will come out from the bottom.
Okay.
And up through the layers for sure.
All right. Yeah.
And the cedar mulch will do the same thing eventually.
Mm.
It takes longer to do.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like years longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So other than that, that's about what's happening in mine. I'm looking. I mean, I don't want summer to end. I'm ready for some. I want to finish off on some heat, but I'm looking forward to kind of filling in my garden a little bit more and before the season's over.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about buying some plants.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Excellent. Excellent. So do we want to pause for a commercial break first?
Yeah, let's do that.
So we're going to talk more about September in the garden when we return here on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need to visit. Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need a visit to the comic doctor. Get your comics pressed and dry cleaned using the comic doctor's chemical-free method, which diminishes or removes unwanted dents, bends, spine roll, and other defects, improving the appearance of your books. Not only will they look great, but their grade and value will increase. This just in. The Comic Doctor is now an authorized CGC submission. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Hello, everyone, and we are back. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening. I am Matthew Dressing, and I'm here with Joanne Shaw. And we are talking everything to do in the garden in September, a busy, busy month. And we were talking before the break about getting, like, planting things.
Right.
And filling your garden before the winter comes. And what a fantastic time to do it. I know in the garden center, or a lot of garden centers, they bring in so much material, but they can't sell it off all the time. So right now it's a great time. There are a lot of deals and things that are out there. I know at my garden center, we do try to do our best. We grow some of our own. I mean, we can pot stuff up and we can minimize our sales that way, or, you know, selling off things at the end
of
the season.
Right. You're not like the, you know, some of the stores have it in the parking lot and they need to kind of get it out of the parking lot. Right. So they really have to, like, drastically reduce it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And a lot of times you find the ratty plants on the sale benches, and don't be deceived. Though the plant is stressed and, you know, it's got maybe a little touch of powdery mildew or it's been cut back, remember the roots. Take a look at those root balls, because they are nice and strong and they're healthy, but they're stressed too, right? So, I mean, trees have that ability to turn off and go to sleep in August, for example, and come out next year and they're beautiful. So perennials can do the same thing. So keep in mind, even though it looks kind of ratty, take a look at that root ball. Take her out of the pot, and if she's nice and strong and there's no black or rot or soft, you know, they look thick, but when you touch them, they collapse kind of roots.
Yeah.
You know, nice big root balls will do very well for you coming back through the summer.
No, that's a great, that's winter. A good way for sure. And especially things like Japanese maples.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, might be a bigger budget things that you might be able to find. And it might be a little smaller than what you wanted, but the important thing is to get it in the ground.
Exactly.
And even if it's lost its leaves, that's one big thing, too, that I think because they're in a pot, the roots are doing fine, but they may have lost. They've gotten some stress. They've had more wind than they would have in your garden out in a parking lot. So they've lost the leaves, but if the stems are still pliable, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really are. And if they don't make it, I mean, you didn't spend a lot, but that's like one way to look at it. But definitely, especially if you're looking at starting a new bed or maybe filling in.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah.
I know I've got a few spots, and there's some things on my benches at work.
Yes.
I'm going to take like 5-6 different perennials for $20.
Yes.
And it's like, I would never get that for that. So
yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Now, I have to say, I did the opposite, because I went to one nursery and I was planting some sedums, and I wanted the burgundy color and I wanted low growing. And so all the ones that they had in stock were all pretty leggy, and I know they would fill in for next year. I know that. Mm-hmm. I am who I am. I know what I know that. But I just didn't want that. I just wanted to nice full sedums. So I bought ones at your garden center that had just come in and that were looking, you know, so I did kind of spend,
good.
I know they were looking good. The Dazzleberry sedums were looking really good.
Sedum.
Yeah. So they were exactly what I wanted. And so I did splurge a little bit. So there is a bit of that, you know, the nurseries are More of the dedicated nurseries are bringing in, you know, they know what looks good in the fall, so they're going to bring those in. They're going to bring in some Japanese anemone. They're going to bring in some of the rudbeckia, you know, to promote, to get you, you know, looking at fall color. So there's both sides. You can get the deals, but you can also get some fresh stock,
right,
you know, getting some fresh rudbeckia that they've just brought in versus ones that have been sitting on the bench in the back for the last 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot more open to you than you think if you really look around the garden center.
Just because it is a good sale time and there's lots of sales doesn't mean there's no fresh stock to be had.
That's right.
Yeah,
and it's still, and a question I'm asked all the time is, when is it too late to plant? And technically, I mean, you can plant up to the ground freezes. I say, you know, most people don't want to be out there with their winter coats in November like you and I. So if you give yourself, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, as you know, I think you can successfully plant after that. But if that's just your kind of drop dead date, and that shows you how many more weeks you have to plant. So,
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then that's what I say. How late do I really have? You know, I've planted personally tulips in January and because the ground was open and they all came up perfectly. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really is no.
Me too. Yeah, I've done stuff. And this is another little trick for those of us who find some good deals in plants. But let's say you don't have the garden's not ready or you don't know where you want to put them. And I've done this in the past too, is just dig a hole and plant them, keep them in the pot and plant them in the ground.
Yeah.
Get them through the winter, mulch them a little bit, get them through the winter. Or there's people sometimes they're moving, or maybe these plants are going to go into their cottage, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you buy them, you get the deal and you keep them in their pot and put them in the ground and they can freeze up. Right?
Yeah.
And they're fine all winter. And then come spring when you're ready and you know where they want to go or you're ready to move, you can just dig them up and they're already in their pot.
Right.
All so, ready to go so that's a nice little secret.
That is. That's a great tip.
Yes. A good planting tip for sure. Especially for people who can't, when you can't resist that sale plant, but you don't know where you're going to put it.
Just hide it in somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's other some chores that we can do that you can't, that the fall is the best time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
September, October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them, I think, a lot of people, we had that perennials and dividing perennials show in that talk.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times right now is dividing your peonies.
Peonies, yes.
Yes. So
people are often afraid of those.
They are.
Yes.
They are. And peonies are so, I love peonies. I like those little weird little facts kind of things.
Yes.
So peonies will outlive human beings. Peonies have been known to live for like 112 plus years. So,
but I think that's why people are afraid, because they're
right.
Their grandmother's
they're
peonies.
They're afraid of losing that
right?
peony.
Yeah,
right? And
yeah.
Like other plants, they really, like orchids, they're tough little creatures, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Joanna's shaking her head.
Oh, about orchids,
yes,
but peonies, for sure, for sure. So, and they don't like, people say, oh, I don't think they like to be divided, I don't think they like to be moved, and they don't necessarily, but they will tolerate it better at this time of year.
Right, this is the time of year, this is the best time of year to be doing it,
yeah.
And keep in mind, too, when you divide perennials, really, you want to ask yourself, how far am I going to be setting that plant back? Right. So you're going to divide it into chunks. It's going to take some time to, you know, settle back in and then start to grow and fill back into that size.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And when with peonies, the biggest thing. So, yes, that you can. I would make sure you're using a nice sharp knife to get a nice clean cut. Just when you're replanting it, before you dig it up, even note at what depth it's at, the roots are, because that is the biggest thing. Because I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I divided it, it never bloomed again, or I moved it, it never bloomed again. And it has nothing to do necessarily with the dividing or the moving. It's that you've replanted it too deep.
Too deep.
Yeah. They need to be fairly shallow. You need to see some of the tuber, like not really tubers, but what would you describe it?
Kind of like the crown, like when you see the tree flare going into the ground, or like just the tips of the irises.
Yes.
And maybe that's a bad example because they do like to sunbathe a bit, but
yeah,
just that kind of the upper root, that upper part of the crown.
Right.
Yeah.
So not to plant it too deep.
Mm. Yeah. I always say when in doubt, if you hit clay or you're worried, just, you know, always plant it a little, that 1 to 3 inches above the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And what are some other things that...
Well, just talking in the garden, right, is a great time to start adding your compost. And I think we touched on that before.
Mm-hmm.
Adding your compost, your manure, duck manure. I'm going to have to find that and
I know,
try that
you're
for
gonna
sure.
I know, you're going to find that out. Oh, thank you. Oh, so Juanita, thank you so much. We're glad you like that too. We're actually really enjoying doing it. So yeah, thank you. And isn't that a crazy coincidence that we didn't know that we shared a birthday? So that's funny. So thank you for listening very much, Juanita.
Thanks, Juanita.
And I'm glad you enjoy listening to what's happening in our gardens. Yeah. So you're gonna have to research some duck manure for us.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find where that is.
Yes, that's for sure. Although we both know a mutual contractor who's got a new, he's got some ducks. He's actually, so we might have to talk to him.
Yeah. Way to get him on the show.
That's right. No, there's no getting him on the show. That's good. But it is a good time. I mean, to me, I think I'd rather be doing the planting.
For sure.
You know, and kind of maybe end of September. So if you're doing any planting, you know, I think the amending of the gardens can be certainly more the end of the month.
Right. Yeah.
But you can definitely be thinking about it.
Right. And as you put new things in too, I mean, it's also another chance to amend and add little bits of things too.
Yeah,
I know I have to every time I plant in Nana's garden to start dry shade. If I don't, it's pretty much gone. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Be better at that. And I think it's a good time to evaluate. I know we've talked about that, I think, in August, too. You know, look at where your holes are. Look at what's blooming and see, you know, cause especially with the plants that are on sale, see where you can add some fall color, right? If you're really lacking. I know a lot of people are really good at growing spring gardens, but not so much the August, September garden. And that type of thing. So and there's lots at the nursery. You just have to, something to keep in mind though is sometimes, as I was saying, they bring out stuff that blooms in the fall, but you just need to know a little bit about them. So I'm going to think specifically the hibiscus, the perennial hibiscus, which is a great showy plant. People are seeing it in their walks in their neighborhood, and they're certainly stocked up at the nurseries. And it is a good plant to have, but there's some caveats, though, I want to make sure people know about, in that they are very late.
Yes.
Like, so they are the one of the top plants that people bring back on the May long weekend saying that it's dead when it really isn't dead. It's like in the Rosa Sharon. It is in the Rosa Sharon family. Is that the same hibiscus family? Yeah. So they really should be at the back of the bed with something spring in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing, because it is, you know, until the end of June, it's going to look like two dead sticks in your garden. Don't cut it back, leave it alone, but don't dig it up and bring it back to the nursery.
No.
And just know that once it gets the heat in July and a bit of August, then it's going to grow and it's going to be that beautiful, big, huge dinner plate size flower in your garden where the neighbors all stop the car and look. So definitely, I know I can't resist telling people, like I was at, you know, and they're talking, they're debating it and like, well, it's, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but just make sure you plant it at the back and don't dig it out in the spring, you know. So that is one of the things. Sometimes the fall things do get dug up or you know, weeded out because it takes them so long. We forget about them.
We do forget about them. And that's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always being brought back.
Yeah.
Most certainly.
That butterfly bush.
Butterfly bush, Caryopteris, things like that. Oh, it died. And it's
it didn't die.
No, it's fine.
You just killed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it some time. Yeah.
We're going to talk about those. Yeah. Those are great things to add to the garden.
Those are great things to add to the garden. Yes. And then just, I guess, if we wanted to touch on some of the other plants. I mean, we talked about butterfly bush, sedums. There's some goldenrods that are out there that are dwarf and semi-dwarf goldenrods.
Mm-hmm.
I love goldenrod personally. And it's not an allergen.
Right.
Right. So
gets blamed for ragweed, but it's not.
Right. Yeah. The pollen actually can't activate your nose. It's too big.
Yes.
So
and one of the goldenrods, Helen, one of the dry shade plants Helen suggested was the goldenrod.
Yeah,
the zigzag goldenrod. So that's an interesting one.
And I'm actually trying to get that in.
Oh, good.
So that you and I can look at it.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
So that one's really fun. And you had mentioned anemones. Two of my favorites, toad lilies.
Yes.
I love toad lilies. If you're not familiar with toad lilies, kind of, you know, an opposite held, zigzagging, branching fall perennial. And they just come out with little kind of dainty-like stems of tiny star-shaped, really funky color.
Almost orchid-like.
Yeah, that's exactly the next words out of my mouth. Very orchid-like kind of hung. And they're absolutely beautiful when you get a nice mature clump that's show-stopping.
Oh.
They're really small, but... I mean, like the size of maybe a quarter or less.
Now, I want to say that they need moisture. Do they?
They do.
They do.
I've
okay.
tried it in my garden.
It's the toad. I don't know.
Yeah. And I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I wanted to, and I gave it, you know, the shady spot because it is a shady plant and even more of a partial shade,
okay.
almost bordering full sun. And it was the moisture that got her.
Okay.
I just took it out.
And because we were chatting on Instagram, too, about Persicaria, because I had a client who had this beautiful mound, and I just loved it. But I'm fearing that it, because it seemed to like it a little wet. And not that her area was necessarily wet, but she did make a comment about, we didn't see that in the garden last year. She goes, I don't know where, I mean, I remember having this a few years ago, but it's this year, it's really, and I think maybe the cooler, wetter spring,
maybe
more
really
wetter, you know, it's really two really good masses of flowers, and boy, did the bees love it.
Yeah.
So it had a really neat character to it, but maybe it's the water, and which is why, because I hear the term, I just have never used it in designs, and I've never really see it in the neighborhood gardens.
No, it's
yeah.
very, very underused.
Yeah,
I think.
Considering it's red, right? Because usually people have a hard time, and they want red for hummingbirds, and it's a great pollinator. So I think it's tricky to find that full sun to part sun and moist area.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really tricky plant. So if you do have that challenging area in your yard, then those are toad lily and persicaria are some great options.
Mm-hmm. And I think, what was the variety that I, firetail, I think.
You think that your gardening is already finished for the season? Oh, I'm just getting started. Oh, good. Good. She is getting started. Okay, so sorry. Oh. I should have read the whole message.
Linda's writing in that most folks think their gardening is finished already for the season, but she's just getting started.
Yes.
And thank you, Linda, for the birthday wishes.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's so many things
yes.
to be had and done, and yeah, there's plenty of time left.
For sure. And it's almost a bit more enjoyable. It does get pretty hard in the middle of July.
It really does.
To, you know, and to know you can't go away for a weekend without watering and leaving soak roses going and stuff. So
it's cooler. Everything's richer.
So September is definitely definitely a good time.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And hydrangeas, I mean, that's, you know, one of my favorites. And I've got several different varieties, and I'm always kind of learning about new ones. But they are great, especially with the new dwarf varieties. There's some really nice ones that you can kind of tuck in a 3-foot by 3-foot area and not have to wait for a perennial to grow in. Like, that shrub's going to take in that spot, and it's going to give you a long season of bloom.
Yeah.
For sure. So, little quick fire, little lime, bobo, little lamb. There's a lot of them. They're almost getting to be too many, but we won't go there.
The whole city line series, if you want that endless summer color kind of thing going on.
Which I personally boycotted, but, you know, go for it.
Boycotted? Well, I don't think we've had this conversation.
Yeah, we haven't. The whole macrophilia. Yeah, we need to do a whole hydrangea show, but I know. There's another show right there.
There we go.
So I've just been just frustrated a little bit by the macrophilias. So the city line and the endless summer series. But
I've had a lot of people reporting that a really harsh winter or a weird season, they don't come back up in the spring as big as they used to.
Right.
They're 5x5 and then they come up and they're 2x2. And they do that for like 3-4 years before they come back again.
Yeah.
And it's just, they're just as wide as they were, but they don't really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloom.
Yeah, bloom or even, grow.
Yes, yes. And I can't believe we're going to talk about bulbs, planting bulbs.
Planting bulbs.
Now, I will say that this is something I tend to procrastinate because I think, it's September, it's way too early. There's lots of time.
Mm-hmm.
And there is lots of time to plant.
There is.
But I have been guilty of going in at the end of October looking for specific bulbs and they're gone.
That's the key.
So I think, I say every year I get that bulb catalog in like, June?
Yeah.
And I think, I'm going to order them this time and I'm going to have them in time and I'm going to get the alliums I'm looking for. So I finally end up planting things not quite exactly what I wanted because they're out of stock.
You get out of stock.
Yes.
Exactly.
So definitely do your purchasing.
Yeah. Do your purchasing, take them home, hold on to them. If it's too warm, you know, do your daffodils right away. You can do things like your alliums. Wait for your tulips.
Okay.
They're better planted after Thanksgiving or right at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. and just...
Is there any harm, like if they come out this week, next week, if someone wanted to plant their tulips next
week? You
could
totally do it. It's more of a like the animal kind of thing.
Right.
They love the tulips, right?
So
they can see that you've dug, and then they can smell that you've dug.
Yeah.
So then they go exploring, but usually late October, or if they go digging your daffodils, you know, they're going to leave them alone, right?
Right. And your alliums.
And your alliums. And right. So they leave these guys alone. And then you get to October, and it's so cool that they're in nesting mode. So they're, you know, bearing the last of their things and building the last of their nest. So they're not really paying as much attention.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Yeah. So, I mean, I think hold off because there's still lots of other garden stuff you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not ready to plant bulbs, but definitely get to the store and get the good ones, because some of the alliums, because sometimes I don't want the giant ones and I don't want the little short ones. It's like the mid-size alliums. Those seem to sell out.
Yes.
And same with some of the fuller, you know, because if I'm going to go with daffodils, I want to have something that's a little different. Mm-hmm. And I find those sell out too.
They do too.
Right. So. So, and I'm sure I'm not the only one wanting to do something a little bit different type of thing.
No,
I personally give up on the tulips just because of the squirrel factor. But, you know, if that's what you want to do. But I know the real nice new parrot ones, variegated so tulips that are really vase shaped and beautiful. Those are the ones that sell out first as well.
Very quickly, if you want anything unusual.
Yeah, so definitely. So we'll put buying bulbs down for sure for the September garden.
You have to, yeah. Because most garden centers don't get another stock in.
Right.
It's a one-time buy from Holland.
Yes.
Right, so you can't get other things. There's not more coming.
Right, right. Yeah. Unlike perennials.
Unlike perennials.
Stocking
we can get the same thing over and over again.
Speaking of, so we kind of talked about the main, you know, ones that everybody knows, right? I'm going to put you on the spot here with tulips, daffodils, and alliums.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any, like, there are lots of other. There's muscari. There's other, like, lots of other.
Muscaris, crocuses. Tulips, species tulips. So they don't look like species or tulips. They're very star-like, very long, pointed, very colorful, lower, that very naturalized very well.
Okay.
Different small narcissus that will naturalize and take over, much like the scilla or the muscari. There's fritillarias.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice to be planted in amongst the bulbs because they smell like skunks.
Okay.
So when things come to dig, they can smell the skunk and they're just like, ew.
Okay.
And that's where you get the hen manure thing going down, right?
Right.
Bring your hen manure down. Yeah, do the things like that. Kynodoxa, I think Helen spoke about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So there are a few other things
for
sure.
So many different cool little things that you can layer in amongst your tulips and having seasons blast all over the time. Yeah, like having multiple seasons through bulb season.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Well, that's good.
And, you know, if you do find those two bulbs and things people ask, you know, there's the late spring and then the early spring.
Mm-hmm.
But and I find that it's very much, you know, early spring is early spring, like on the calendar. That's kind of when she's going to do her thing.
Okay.
Which is a tip to, if you wanted to delay them, tulips and the bulbs, they're smart. They will grow. If you want to bring two, like a late and a mid season together, plant them on their side or upside down. And the earlier one will delay itself closer to the later one because the bulb will turn itself, grow down and out and come back up the other way.
Oh, right. So I don't have to so worried about those. Is this that? Because sometimes you can't tell.
No, yeah.
And, you know, like, is this the top? Is it the bottom?
Exactly. Just plant it on its side.
So we do have a new listener. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Welcome, Steve.
He's a new listener from Idaho. And we are on every Monday night. I'm glad you like our information, but we're on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
And we have past episodes. We'll mention that at the end of the show, but you can go to my website at downtoearth.ca with a number 2 and see past episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. You should write in and let us know how you found out about us, because that we always love to know that information for sure.
Excellent.
So is September, so back to perennials, is September, I mean, anything aside from planting new ones, annual, I mean, should we be cutting any back?
Yeah, you can cut back the diseased foliage for sure.
Okay.
Anything that's looking ratty and tired. If you look like a lot of like the heucheras or your echinaceas, your rudbeckias, even some of the spring things, you'll notice there's another flush. Your salvia is another flush of foliage coming out underneath.
So, right.
Yeah, cutting back some of the tired or raggedy type things and making sure they get a nice feed. They'll freshen back up and pop up nicely.
Because things could still keep blooming till the end of October, really.
Oh, for sure.
You know, well, so, and sometimes I think cutting those off like sporadically because you still want to leave some up for the bees and the butterflies and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah,
deadhead as you go and, you know, keep the ones up for the bees and things, but divert the plant's energy to create more flowers.
Yes, and annuals too. Like, I think people forget that they just buy their basket in the spring and then they don't do much to it, but you do need to kind of deadhead it and kind of
keep it fed
and keep it fresh. And if you've got some, like sometimes in a mixed basket, you've got one, you know, three of the plants are doing great and one's not. And you're kind of like, what do I do with it? You know, then try to get that one out and you can pop maybe a little 6-inch or 4-inch mums in or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So do we want to, we've got lots to cover. Oh my goodness, there's lots to do in September.
There's still a
run. You can just keep going. No commercial break needed to all our fans at home.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I was going to take the opportunity to
then
enjoy
we will.
This
it's up to you.
I know. I don't want to be rude.
Carrie and Elaine brought us our birthday apple turnover.
We can take one if you'd like.
No, we're okay. We got lots to cover, as you can tell in our notes. Gary can see.
I can hear the fans now.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I just say, well, along the line of annuals, they're your fruit and veggies and things too, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, cleaning up any bad and fallen fruits, things like that. I was talking about my tomatoes earlier. We're getting close to the risk of frost. And, you know, the further south you are, the longer you still have yet to go. You could even be planting, depending on where you really are, another crop of fresh tomatoes, right?
For sure.
So, I mean, right now in my garden, I'm going to be looking at picking the last of the immature ones as my tomato slowly fades to give that energy
Our cherry tomatoes are going strong. Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I think mine.
Yeah, not.
I think mine got hit by that wind. Remember that one big storm we had? I think that's. Yeah. Kind of did her.
And we are like cucumber. I can't even imagine. A friend of mine said her daughter planted 5 cucumber plants and she's got a ton of cucumbers. I can't even imagine because we planted one cucumber plant and we have so many cucumbers. And actually we got the idea from, I don't know if I mentioned it before on the show, of doing a chain.
I knew that was going to happen. I've been looking at your mic the whole night.
My son hung a chain from the fence, and so we got the cucumber to climb up the chain. And so it's doing really well. Like, it took off. Like, he couldn't believe how quickly this plant figured out that it could climb the chain.
Right.
Yeah, so it's gone up, which is great. And so, but we have so many cucumbers. And it's next to the cherry tomato plant. And I swear, that cherry tomato plant is growing for the chain, too. Like, it is, there's like a whole section of it that is trying to climb with the cucumber.
It is
hilarious. Yeah, so, I mean, I know it's reaching a bit to the sun. What did I do, Gary? See what happens when I talk with my hands, right? It's very dangerous in here. So the plants are doing, you know, so our peppers, like even that, he's already saying, okay, next year, no more cucumbers. Yeah. They thought they could plant, they could make pickles with the cucumbers, but we planted the, so I had to explain, these aren't the kind that you make pickles with, the pickling cucumbers. So I think that's, pickles are in our future next year.
Cool.
The jalapenos, we seem to still have a ton of those. We kind of can't keep, they made bacon wrapped jalapenos on the weekend. Yep, so that's gone over really well. But Brussels sprouts aren't doing anything, so I don't know what we've done. It's nice and full and bushy, but there's no stock of, so I don't know if they're a heavy feeder. He didn't really do a lot of fertilizing.
Right.
So I wondered about those Brussels sprouts. I talked to Jen today. She's been with Barefoot Veggie. She's been on the show in the past. And she said she had lots of things that are done. But she still does have a lot of tomatoes. But her Brussels sprouts are coming up lots. And she has tons of eggplant, she said. And her cucumbers were done. And I'm like, oh, well, ours are still going strong. We're going to like be knocking on literally neighbor's doors. handing out cucumbers. So it really seemed, this year seemed a funny year to really vary as to when vegetables were done and weren't done. Because even our pepper plants don't look particularly well. We didn't get a huge... the jalapenos have done well, but the other peppers, we've gotten one red pepper and one yellow pepper.
Oh, okay.
Pepper.
I see you have the sweet peppers.
Yes, we had the sweet peppers, and they didn't really thrive. Like, I don't think peppers need heat.
Yeah, they like the warmth.
Yeah. So, but I'd love to hear what our listeners are planting and if they have any vegetable questions, for sure. We can help them with that as the season winds down. And there's still some cold, some other things we can start. I know we're going to talk a bit more about that as September goes on, but there's more things we can still keep growing, right?
Yep.
Some cold plants, cold season.
Cold season veggies and cold season plants and annuals and lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fruit trees.
Yep. Cleaning up any of the fruit and getting ready to get that dormant spray kit going wherever you are.
Okay.
Overwintering. I know a lot of our fruit trees in the area and for a few of people I know, lots of insect and pests and other diseases. So getting ready for that, making sure you're picking up any rotting fruit and things like that. You don't want to draw in animals and foraging insects.
Okay.
Just kind of cleaning it up. Pears. I learned to pick pears early.
Really?
So pick them early, and then you put them in a cold, cool spot for the last couple of weeks for them to ripen. So that second week of September-ish kind of time is ready to be picking your pears to bring them in and
Now, is that just
that
so the animals don't get them first? Or
I kind of tried to find that, and you just kind of pick your pears. And that I didn't know. I don't have any fruit trees. So.
Yeah. I've always wanted to espalier some like pear trees. Wouldn't that be
so
great?
Much fun.
Yeah.
There's
another
show.
Yeah. definitely. Herbs too. That's something that sometimes that you're going, the herbs are going gangbusters, right? And you're kind of like, what am I going to do with all these herbs?
Mm-hmm. And it's time to do some harvesting and it's the time of year to freeze them for your winter.
That is a really good idea. Yeah. We should definitely do that.
Freezing them. And what did a chef say to me? I think he said you cut them and you put them into ice cube trays.
Oh, okay.
And you just like, here's an ice cube tray of basil. And you just fill it up and just top it off with water so it all freezes in one spot.
Okay.
And then just pop out ice cubes as you need.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And you can go to the dollar store, right? And you buy ice cube trays for $1.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And you've got herbs for months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a really good idea. So, yeah. Have you grown, I know, any herbs?
Yeah, I had mint. I like the mint. I usually will grow some parsley or some basil as well because I like to make my own salad dressings from time to time. Right now, I've only got the mint going. I brought it indoors and the others. I've left them. I'm just not interested this year in bringing them inside. But I also find it's really tough to grow the herbs inside.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that seems to be kind of the common thing. So if any of our listeners have any tips on growing herbs inside or some secret thing that you've discovered or divined, that would be amazing to share.
Okay.
I find that everyone just doesn't have as much light.
Right.
I think most of them are Mediterranean in origin, so they just don't have the heat and the long, nice days.
Yeah.
So,
Okay. We did basil and chives. And the chives always overwinter in the pot, so those are great. So they stay in the pot all summer, all winter, and they come back in the spring. And so we've done basil, and I want to say, we always do a mint, but usually like a spearmint or something
that's
like that.
Mine. Yeah, I love spearmint.
For the guys like to add that to their iced tea and stuff like that. So
I make a nice watermelon slushy.
Oh,
and
very
a few
nice
mint leaves.
Mint leaves, excellent. So. Alrighty. So what is next in September?
In September, it's as we reach the end of the show. It's also lawn season.
It is.
It is the time to do your lawn.
Yeah.
You've got all of fall, it's perfect weather. overwinters nicely. All of spring is the perfect weather. So now is the time to be out there, you know, picking the weeds. Leave the crabgrass. It is annual. It will die. Just make sure you get the seed heads. But, you know, making sure you're cutting high still, mm-hmm. about that 3 inches. Cut high as it starts to slow as well to keep the look. But make sure you're putting down your grass seed and your top dressing. Get your fall fertilizer in. It's almost that time. I usually say that Labor Day-ish to Labor Day to mid summer. So, you know, the 10th to the 15th or 16th for your fall fertilizer. But we'll talk about that again. There's another in October you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is there an order of things? Because I know we've talked about nematodes.
Yeah.
So now that's also coming up to that time of year, right, where we can do that watering in the nematodes.
It is.
And so I just wonder, is there an order of things? Like, should we deal with the nematodes before we deal with the grass seed?
Yeah.
And the fertilizer, or does it? Are they all independent?
They're pretty independent, but the main thing I always tell the people in that come to see me at the garden centers, leave the chemical-based fertilizers like your Scotts and your Miracle-Growy kind of stuffs. They're those chemical synthetic ones. So just give them a week before or after you do the nematodes, because they're alive and chemical things like that damage the soil microorganisms. So, and then just with the nematodes, just make sure that the lawn is watered well before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't walk on the lawn as long as it's squishy.
Okay.
We're going to get a lot of fall rains, hopefully, coming, and then the lawn gets squishy. We still want to be out there raking leaves and things. Walking on a wet lawn damages the roots.
Okay.
So just outside of that. But other than that, no, you know, put your nematodes down, fertilize a week later. I guess the fertilizer and the grass seed as well.
Okay.
I go organic if you're going to put down the fertilizer and the seed at the same time.
Okay. Because then it's just a slower, gentler release.
Right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And I always get this question asked about fertilizing too. Make sure that the grass is dry before you apply your fertilizer. So the soil can be wet. But if you run your hand over the grass, kind of like you're pushing it through your hair.
Yes.
And there's water on your fingers, make sure you don't fertilize it then, because the prills will get stuck to the blades.
Right.
And then they start to melt sitting on the droplet of water sitting on the blade, and then you get freckles.
Right.
Right. So avoid that too.
Okay. That's a good point. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, so we'll be talking much more in an upcoming show, won't we, about lawn.
Yeah.
And we sit there, you know, it is, I know we spend a lot of resources on our lawns, unfortunately,
yeah.
But I know our listeners have lots of questions, and I think, and there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I love doing the show. A lot of the commercials are set, you know, pre-programmed when those ads are going to come out and magazine ads and things like that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right time in our season.
Exactly.
So that's why I like to really point out, as much as I, you know, prefer gardening over lawn care, I really feel like, at least if I'm giving the actual information for what's happening in our area, then definitely, you know, you got to take what the magazines and the TV ads and things like that to take with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to a point, they're trying to sell stuff too, right?
For sure.
Yeah. And so just being fall, now is the time to aerate and dethatch.
Right.
Because the lawn is nice and green. Hopefully it's 3 to 4 inches tall, nice and thick. And she'll fight off her battle. She'll trap those seeds, or they'll be desiccated
mm-hmm.
by the elements. Now is the time to do it. Not when the 16-year-old knocks on the door at the end of April.
Right. Exactly. With the little thing and that little machine.
Have him come back in mid-May.
Yes. Yeah, they never do, though.
You know, no, they never do.
They never do, because they're done. They're done. Definitely. That is so funny. And, oh, my goodness.
I know. The bane in the garden center.
For sure. For sure.
And we did a lawn care show.
Yes.
Yes. And I haven't been to the website in the last few days. So was that posted? Or if it isn't, it will be posted.
Yes.
And
yep.
We will be able to hear us talk all about lawns.
Yes, for sure. Like, I can't know off the top of my head. Sure, I don't think I'm that far behind, because it was a few months ago, but you never know. You never know. So definitely look for that on the Lawn Care show. And we will be talking about it more, because there is some more specific things to learn. And we want to make sure our lawns, everybody loves the lawn looking great in the spring, mm-hmm. but they realize that it's the work you do in the fall
right.
that really helps that, not necessarily going out, running out in the spring and doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's kind of predetermined already.
Yeah, yeah. By then it is.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was a lot. A lot's happening in September.
Lots of September.
I know.
Lots more
I know.
In September than August, it
I
seems.
I know. It seems like that. So yeah, so please follow us along on social media, downtoearth.ca with the number 2 for Down to Earth. Our past shows are there, as well as all the social media links for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So please drop me a line. Hello. Let me know what topic, if there's a particular topic you want to know more about. I'm happy to do a show on that and research it for you, or bring in an expert if we need to.
Right.
We're, you know, excited about planning the next few weeks. We've got some great shows coming for you.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can say hi to me at on Twitter, at Nat Affinity. N-A-T, Affinity, A-F-F-I-N-I-T-I-Y.
Yeah, fun spelling that yeah, all the time,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have any other questions or you want to talk about something a little more that we talked about on the show.
How is your website? Is it?
It's almost ready.
It's almost ready?
Almost ready.
Okay. Okay. Matt's working on his website.
Yes, it will be naturalaffinitydesigns.ca.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
Keep an eye out for that as well.
Excellent. Well, that's good.
Be able to find our past shows there as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so next week is Labor Day Monday.
Labor Day.
So we are going to, McGarry doesn't even know that, so I don't even know.
Well, I do know that.
You do know that? Okay. Well, we already decided we're ahead of ourselves. We're going to do a past episode
next
Monday. So Gary, so we're going to do, Kylie Baumel has done a show about a year ago on mm-hmm. monarch butterflies. Yeah. And we thought it was a perfect time to replay that.
Right.
And we're hoping to have her. She's written a new book. And so we're hoping to have her on in the fall as well
mm-hmm.
To chat with us more about monarch butterflies. But yeah. So
read her new book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And on September 11th, we are having Daniel Eggert from Harris Seeds in to talk to us. Well, he's not going to be in, but he's going to be on the phone with us. And we're going to talk about organic seed versus non-organic seed. He's the organic seed brand manager for them. And so I'm really interested. I know it seems like an odd time of year to talk about seed, but I think I love to learn the process of how things go from the garden to the package. You know, how do we get it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot, like we mentioned, there's a lot of fall cold season plantings
right.
that you can do. And so he's going to also talk about that.
And I get the our seeds come in the beginning of December.
Really?
For the spring. So mid-September, you don't have a wait. Too long of a wait.
That's
that
right.
Excitement.
That's right. So yeah. So I'm really excited
That'll
to talk
really
to him.
Good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. So I want to thank everybody once again for joining us down the garden path.
Thank you, everyone.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, live here on Reality Radio 101. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.